Chapter 2. At 2 o'clock in the morning, Mrs. Durbeyfield came into the room where Tess and the 6 younger children were sleeping.
"Tess, your father can't take the bees to market," she whispered to her daughter.
Tess sat up in bed.
"It's already late in the year for farmers to rent our beehives. If we don't take them today, no one will want them. We need the money from those bees."
"Perhaps one of the young men from the village would take them," said Joan.
"No, then everyone would know that father is too drunk to work."
"I'll take them myself if Abraham can come with me," answered Tess, getting out of bed and beginning to dress.
Joan Durbeyfield woke her young son, Abraham, and he and Tess walked beside the thin old horse, Prince, as he pulled the wagon with his load of beehives up the hill. When they got to the top of the hill, Tess and Abraham climbed onto the wagon and talked to keep each other awake.
"Are you happy that you're going to marry a gentleman, Tess?"
asked Abraham.
"Where did you get an idea like that?" asked the surprised Tess.
"Mother was talking about it at home. Our noble relations are going to help you marry a gentleman," he went on. "There is a rich lady in Trantridge who will help you when she knows you are a relation."
Tess was too shocked to answer him and rode on in silence.
"You once told me that the stars are worlds like our world, didn't you, Tess?" asked Abraham. "Are they all like our world?"
"Not exactly like our world," Tess replied thoughtfully. "Some worlds are good and some are bad. We live on one of the bad worlds."
"What would it be like if we lived on one of the good ones?" her brother persisted.
"In a good world, father wouldn't be ill and mother wouldn't have so much hard work," answered Tess.
"And you would already be a lady and wouldn't have to marry a gentleman," Abraham added.
"Enough of that. Don't talk about it any more," said his sister.
Abraham stopped talking and fell asleep in the wagon. Without her brother to talk to, Tess also fell asleep and dreamed of a rich young gentleman who laughed at her parents' poverty and their foolish pride in being d'Urbervilles. Suddenly, there was a jolt and Tess woke to the sound of an animal crying in pain. Men were shouting and someone shone a lantern in her face. Tess jumped down from the wagon and saw their poor horse, Prince, lying bleeding on the ground. The early morning mail cart had crashed into their wagon in the dark and killed Prince.
"You were on the wrong side of the road," shouted the mail cart man. "And your lantern was out. I have to deliver the mail bags. Stay here with your wagon and I'll send somebody to help you."
"It's all my fault," cried Tess, looking at poor Prince lying in the road. "There's no excuse for me, none. What will mother and father live on now? Abie, wake up. Prince is dead."
"It's because we live on a bad world and not a good one, isn't it, Tess?" murmured Abraham, crying softly.
When Tess returned home and told her parents what had happened, they were not angry with her, but Tess still blamed herself for the disaster. Her father decided to bury the faithful old horse.
"We d'Urbervilles don't sell our horses for dog's meat," he said as the younger children stood around him crying.
Tess stood there looking pale as her father covered the horse with earth.
"What will we do for money without Prince to pull the wagon?" she said quietly to herself.